Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 22 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my co-host Allie, and we're going to be talking about BlizzCon stuff. Yay!
Yay, BlizzCon!
So, fun news. I know I brought it up before, but it was at the end of a previous episode. I will be on the Warcraft panel at Con Before the Storm, which is, I believe, 11 o'clock at night on Thursday. I'm very, very excited. I've never been on a panel before, so come check it out, but also be nice.
And I'll be around at the same time. So if you see me in the crowd, I'll be there if you're attending at all.
Yes. There are going to be, I believe, VODs after the fact. I think they're recording all the panels. So even if you don't aren't able to attend in person, there are ways to catch up online as well. So yay.
Yay. So, I mean, BlizzCon is a big yearly event. Everybody gets all excited for it, and they do all sorts of cool, fun things. Con Before the Storm is really cool. I guess as far as Warcraft goes, they do what's likely to be the next big expansion announcement. It's been 2 years, and that's kind of their cycle.
And they didn't do it at Gamescom like they did for Legion, so it's high time. And it's not to mention Ian, in one of the like virtual ticket videos that they have out, alluded to it pretty heavily that we'll be seeing an 8.0 announcement. Further backed up that immediately after opening ceremonies, we have a Warcraft, what's next? And what's next
and
always alludes
honestly
to big new content-y things. So I'm very excited and tinfoil hat-y as to what kind of things that we will see.
That'd be exciting. I think the big part for me, at least, is definitely going to be how long is going to be the turnaround. They were, when I was there for the Mists of Pandaria announcement, it was so cool, and they were like, oh, we're going to have alpha soon and everything, and it just kind of disappeared. Alpha seemed to kind of dally a little bit, and it seemed like it kind of dragged on a little bit. Now, not that it did, it definitely kind of came out, but you know, we're always kind of waiting and watching the end of expansion lull, and you know, if Antorus releases on November, based on last releases, if it ends up in November again or October or August or something like that, that would put it in line. Not necessarily the most exciting thing, but it would put it in line with, you know, past history, if not be slightly faster.
Yeah, that's always the goal, is we're going to do the thing faster, guys. We promise. And every expansion, it doesn't happen. It gets longer, indeed. But just from how Legion has been this year, this past year, just barely over a year, content has been steamrolling out. So it feels like that they finally got, you know, that engine running well to actually put out, you know, a significant amount of content from time to time. And just looking at the map here and seeing how big that WoW demo area is, it's the biggest one on the floor this year. So I don't think they'll be running Mythic Pluses like they did last year. I think we'll be seeing whatever it is that they're going to talk about, and it's going to be awesome. So
yeah, and that's, having such a large demo area is definitely a indication of good things coming. I mean, of course, you're always looking at the 2 year cycle and everything that goes with it, but it's, you know, encouraging to see all the signs. And then, you know, with Jaina on the key art, and then the panel for Voices of Blizzard, the powerful women of Warcraft, that's kind of maybe telling of what's going to come along.
Yeah,
gosh, I
think
even
if it isn't,
baddie, but
I hope not. As much as I hate her, I don't want to see her be the next big baddie. That would just be cheap, in my opinion, my humble opinion of judgmentary.
It'd be poopy pants, and we all know that, right?
Yeah, it would be really lame. She's got a lot of potential, and she's been kind of mistreated in the past, and not in a good way.
It'd almost be cool, especially the way that they're writing kind of Anduin right now, while he's supposed to be taking over as the king and everything. The more I think about it, I almost wish that Jaina would come back and lead the Alliance. Not going to happen. Pretty sure it's not going to happen, but it would be kind of cool to see that development come out, just because she is such a staunch and strong leader, you know, either from the Kirin Tor and everything else.
Speaking of, she noped out of the Kirin Tor. I'll be curious to see when she makes her return. Will she be returning to them, or is she just kind of, you know, middle finger in the air, deuces, bros, and do her own thing? It's hard to speculate just because she's been gone all expansion, and
she's been gone all expansion, and they kind of taken so many different routes recently with how they write her, and they just kind of like. I almost think that they don't quite know what to do with her. She's such a strong character and such a capable character, but they always kind of just go off. I don't want to say they go off in left field, but they just kind of abruptly turn her story arc in certain ways.
Interesting directions, yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be something that we see come along.
Yes, I'm definitely got all eyes and ears open. And with that, interesting things that have come out of data mining from here and there constantly has me stroking the old chin, wondering what's going to happen next. So I'll leave spoilers out, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those things play out. You can definitely find them in the news if you're interested. And if you're not, then I will leave you spoil free.
I think the point is, if you want to know, you probably know already. If you don't, then you're going to find out eventually.
Right. Hard to kind of plug your ears and hum. For the most part, it's just one of those things that if you're engaged in the community, you're going to see the good and the bad kind of things that peter out there. What was interesting to me is the one that stumbled out recently was that it looks like it's been in game files for a while. So it's kind of wild for them to just now be kind of putting the pieces together and making speculation on, because usually, like, the second that a change dumps into the game files, it's mined out immediately. So
I think it was likely mined out, but they didn't quite figure out what was going on, or it was kind of put in a small piece, and then they looked at it and go, well, what the heck is that for? And then they kind of ignore it, and then the next small piece comes in, and they go, well, that's weird, we still don't know what's going on with it, and they ignore it.
Yeah,
it's particularly kind of with all the raids and everything coming out.
Yeah. That'll be kind of interesting to see. Further on the BlizzCon roster, I'm very excited that this year, if you have a virtual ticket, you actually get a very, very good Blizzard experience, because all of the panels are going to be vodcast, not just a few on the big stage. So that's really exciting as an attendee, but also if you guys aren't attending in person, you get to see a lot of the stuff that we have had in the past that, you know, unless somebody happened to catch it and post it to YouTube, it was just gone into the ether. And then just interesting panels for Warcraft in general that we haven't seen before. We saw one from Level Design last year, and that was really, really cool to kind of see them showcase the actual tool that they use to build WoW and how they, you know, put things together for the flow of zones and that sort of thing. And one of the really awesome things coming out this year is encounter design. I'm so excited because how to make
a
boss is one of the most interesting things to me.
And it's something that we've talked about and theorized before, but it, you know, being able to sit down and watch the panel that'll be on Saturday for those watching at home or attending in person. That's something that I think both of us are really interested in, and mm-hmm. getting to see the developer side of that. You know, we can make our theories and everything and make our comments, but, you know, being able to sit down and listen to them and watch them talk about it is going to be really, really exciting for us.
Yeah, the opportunity to kind of play a fly on the wall will be really, really great. The only thing I'm kind of not looking forward to it is if they have a Q&A section on there, is how many people are going to be like, well, how did you guys end up with so many soak mechanics in Tomb of Sargeras?
Oh, my goodness.
But it's one of those where, like,
a little bit.
But I feel like it'll probably get dredged up again, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the WoW community sometimes.
As you do. Horses like to be beat to death many times.
And of course, that panel will pair nicely with the Friday afternoon panel of the gameplay and systems designs. Both things that are just kind of behind the scenes. How do we get the game and how do they work through all the iterations and stuff? It's just kind of cool to see those feelings.
Yeah, the other thing I'm hoping for that'll come out of that is just some of the RNG mechanics that are built into many, many, many Legion systems, because that's what that stuff falls under in terms of, like, Titan forging and just drop rates and all that kind of crazy stuff. And so, I don't know.
I'd like to see more commentary on that, see how they can try to rein it in a little bit, because that has been the big, I guess, criticism for this expansion. One of them. They fixed a lot of the criticisms, I would say. We've seen iterations on how artifact power is come along, and right now it's super easy. I literally leveled up a new character and didn't play it until 7.3 here. And right now, my mage that I've been playing all expansion is at, well, I haven't been heavily into farming, so I'm only at like 60, just about 68 traits on my mage. I'm at 66 on my warlock, and, you know, just started playing in 7.3. So that's how fast you can gear up and get artifact power, and how almost irrelevant it is. And while there's still a lot of AP there, like there's, I think I counted it out, I'm still 45 billion behind. But in terms of artifact trait numbers, it's not terrible. And it keeps me, you know, being like, well, if I wanted a main change now, I wouldn't feel so locked in.
And that gap is just going to become even more inconsequential as we get near the next AP cap. So
yeah, and honestly, it should. AP was cool as an idea, but it was too hindering, and I think they realized that after enough criticism and discussion and commentary that they were able to find a way to make it work, and how they changed around artifact knowledge to be passive and not be gated, I think really helped in that method.
Yeah, that was instrumental in kind of smoothing out a lot of the process, because if you missed a day, you were super boned, or if you went out of town, you were SOL, unless it was in, you know, really short increments. So it made it so that you could log in when you wanted to and not log in because you have to, otherwise you miss this thing and you get caught behind, and that's the worst feeling. So yeah, it's nice that they consciously acknowledge that, but just seeing the panels and having things not come from Ian. I mean, I adore him. I love every chance, every piece of thing that he puts out or talk that he gives, you know, I enjoy. But at the same time, it's also nice to see, you know, other devs do these panels and, you know, hear them explain things. Perspective is always different, and it's nice to hear from another voice, even if it's the same old thing, it's still being told a little differently. So, that's exciting.
And I think it's something that is highly important. It's nice to hear everything from Ian all the time, from the dev Q&As and things like that. But, you know, how people phrase things and how people talk about things and how people perceive things is different. And so getting a different face is sometimes important, especially since, you know, Ian doesn't develop everything. He may be the lead developer, I guess is his title, but he can't micromanage everything. And so, you know, if you're looking at quest systems or, you know, raid design was kind of where he came through, but he probably doesn't have all his eggs in that basket anymore. And so it'll be nice to talk with other developers who are more in depth involved in those things. You know, not even just in Warcraft itself, but across all the games that Blizzard puts out.
Yep. So, I mean, there's lots of panels that aren't WoW related that I'll be looking forward to. But, of course, WoW is my baby. It's the one I care about the most.
I'm really excited about all the Heroes of the Storm stuff myself. They seem to finally be kind of pushing that more towards the front, in addition to all the the arts and skilled things that I see on the panel schedule. It's just kind of cool to get all the
deep dive stuff.
Deep dive stuff, yeah. And kind of figure out what's coming along. Well, I guess, I mean, for you, what are you going to be excited about the most? Like, where, you know, aside, a lot of people talk about going to BlizzCon and see their friends and hang out and talk to people and, you know, maybe catch and chit chat with the dev on the side. But, you know, what are you most excited about, like, BlizzCon itself? Because, I mean, for me, I've always really enjoyed being there for the esports stuff. It's something that in my area I can't even get close to or see or really touch base with. So it's really cool to be there. And the first year I went, I spent probably 6 hours at the arena watching StarCraft II, and I got so excited for it. Just watching the everything as it happened, it was really super cool, and the excitement from the crowd was something that you couldn't quite get by watching it through Twitch or anything else.
Yeah, that's definitely a very good thing to bring up. I have a tiny bit of privilege being out here in Southern California that a lot of esports stuff is a stone's throw away, so I can make it to a few events. And there is, even if I don't play a game a lot, like Hearthstone, I still love going to the live events when they're nearby, just because it's electric to be there in person, even if you only have kind of a basic understanding, because it's just, the crowd is different. It's hard to explain if, you know, if you've ever been to like a sports game. It's very similar, just different media. StarCraft was the first thing that I saw. This will actually be my 7th BlizzCon. I've gone to more of them than not. I don't even know how that happened. Right? Woo-hoo. Yeah, it would be 8th, but I had to miss 2011. I had to give up my tickets because I was out of town for a thing I couldn't reschedule, so I'm a little sad about that. But yeah, it's nice to see just how, like, the convention has grown from, you know, a few titles to, you know, we have 6 now, and all these really interesting in-depth panels going into some of the really more hardcore technical stuff because people are interested in it, whereas they were kind of just, what's next? What are we going to see now? Not just, like, what's coming next, but also how they got to bringing in what's next, how they do map design and character design and hero design and systems, and, you know, even music, listening to that being broken down is really fascinating to me.
I remember when I went, I think in, was it 2014? They had just kind of put out Heroes of the Storm. It was in the kind of the early stages, and I went to the sound stage, and really getting into how they described the music and everything was super cool, how they layered everything and kind of got the themes to really fit what they wanted Heroes of the Storm to be. It was just a really cool panel to go to.
Yeah.
I think the sound people went through, and I did 20 minutes just on the theme song of what they were trying to convey, and it was the coolest little panel.
Yeah, the music nerd in me was very excited about stuff like that. Many moons ago,
nice
I was
to see
a super band
still
geek.
Continuing on.
Yeah. One thing, because everything is going to be VODed, like, of course you go to attend the panels, but at the same time, like, there's never enough time to do everything and see everyone. And so in years past, I've always foregone watching a lot of the esports stuff. Like, I'll catch the finals, you know, at the end of the night when the panels are over, or if I'm, you know, got some dead space, but it'll be nice to actually, like, sit down and watch some of the matches live instead of catch it on the vodcast afterwards, because I knew that I could see it afterwards and I didn't ever really care about spoilers. Which I know some people are super not pleased about. It's like, oh dear God, don't tell me who won. But I don't know. I have a fly brain and I forget for a minute, so I can still appreciate it for what it is the first time around.
Yeah, certainly. And I guess I want to touch on, you kind of mentioned how seeing the convention grow, and, you know, as I said, my first year was 2014, and in those, I guess this is the 4th year since then, so I've been to 3 of the last 4. Just watching the convention grow even from there, you know, the store used to be up in Hall A and taking up most of that area. You only had a couple stages, and the demo areas were, I would say, significantly smaller. especially when they were trying to crowd Overwatch in with everything else. With new, it was just everything was kind of, while it wasn't cramped, it was like you could tell everything was so smaller scale. And then adding, you know, putting the store downstairs, giving more room to everything else, definitely taking over the arena fully, and then expanding other things, and now
the new hall, know,
moving into the new hall itself. Yay! It's just like this cool thing to see Blizzard continue to grow, and you know, at least trying, definitely making their biggest effort to make sure all their games are getting enough love. Maybe not Diablo, but you know,
we try not to talk about poor Dibbles. Poor Dibbles.
Oh, poor Dibbles.
It's definitely one of those that's getting the least amount of love with their tiny, tiny little demo area. I don't want to make fun of them, but I feel bad because it's, I've been years where there wasn't much WoW news, and it's like, I'm here for this, and there's nothing here for me. And so that always kind of feels bad, man. But yeah, this isn't like a big anniversary moment or anything, so it looks like a lot of the focus is going to be on WoW because we're kind of in a bit of a middle space for everybody else. Right. I'm sure there'll be Hearthstone announcements since it's been a couple of months for Frozen Throne having been out.
There's always a Hearthstone announcement. They'll do some big thing. Tomorrow, you can get to this. And there's likely to be a Fireside Gathering for those following that aspect.
Yeah, and if you guys do play Hearthstone, if you're interested in that, it's a big deal to kind of do a Fireside Gathering right around now and around Halloween, because you can get the new Warlock hero person, and she's adorable. I don't know anything about her, but I want her. Even though she's a filthy Warlock, but anything's better than Gul'dan. I'm the worst.
Yeah, very true. Just like I really wanted to get Tyrande for the priest, even though I hardly play Hearthstone, just because I really didn't want Anduin.
Yeah, I have her. I never play priest decks. I don't know how to play priest decks. I pretty much go in and play mage and get my butt kicked and tuck tail and don't log in for a month.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see if we get new Overwatch heroes. I'm sure we'll see StarCraft heroes. Heroes of the Storm heroes. Yay! One thing I'm kind of pondering on is if we'll see a new map, because it kind of feels like Hanamura wasn't amazing when it came out, so I feel like they've been a little more introspective about, you know, throwing out more map designs without having them be a little more solid for
right.
good experience.
Hanamura was, it was a cool idea, but it failed so miserably in terms of actual gameplay. You could cheese things too quickly.
Yeah.
I remember one time where I realized that if you could sneak behind the enemy team and you got them to show, you could actually take out one of the keeps without too much of an effort before they even realized what was going on a lot of times.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't play that map much, but it was not pleasant sometimes.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where you could do so many quirky things on that map and ignore the game that they were trying to make you play, and so they quickly shelved that. Vestalka is really cool. It definitely throws in the Overwatch feel, but I also feel like it suffers from a lot of the issues where some of the maps tend to snowball faster than others.
Yeah.
There's always issues for maps. Some are going to be stronger at certain things, and I think part of the issue often is if you play mostly QMs, you're going to have a lot more issues than you are going to see in if you do a lot of ranked modes, because you're going to be able to get that draft and see what map you're in.
Yeah.
Kind of get that edge.
Hero choice is very, very important.
Very significant.
When it comes to maps. So, you know, there are some heroes that just aren't designed to be key players for certain maps, and that's perfectly okay. That's why there's a rotation. You know, that's why there's a increasingly large pool of heroes to choose from. It's not a game that's designed around I play one thing and this is what I'm good at, and if I'm not good in this map then I can't really play. It's you're meant to have a diverse toolkit as a player, and you know, at your hero choice to do that. So I'll be curious to see what comes out. It's also very interesting. Even if I'm not very invested, I just like seeing the new shinies. That's one of my favorites. That and seeing people that I don't get to see the rest of the year, or
oh,
even
goodness,
get to
yes.
see every year. So it's the content is amazing, but the people are even more special, at least to me, for every year.
Definitely one of the big draws for me. I was really sad when I originally wasn't thinking I'd be able to go, but through the grace of some friends and a favorable situation for me, I was able to grab a, I guess, a late ticket and kind of get out there. And so I'm really excited to.
It really is my favorite. I'm so excited that you get to come, especially because, like,
I am so excited.
I just met you for the first time last BlizzCon, and the fact that, you know, that we're friends now and we do a podcast together, it's those are the kind of really cool things that you see kind of spring up at BlizzCon, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's emotionally exciting, and it makes
it
me
really
happy.
Is. Like, it was,
I get,
like,
all,
for me,
I get,
like,
all gushy.
Like, getting to meet you was really cool, and getting to meet other people like Ratzel, and, you know, suddenly have those connections and talk to people. I remember I probably only met Crafticus for 10 minutes or something like that, maybe 15. And the coolest thing was seeing him later on in the convention, and just he kind of glanced over, recognized me, and just smiled and waved at me. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, and then he kind of went on and kept on doing his business. And it was just like, you know, those things where, you know, the devs are people, but, like, you kind of make those, you know, cute little friendships that, you know, will last on. I know some people who have met significant others there and, you know, continue to come back, or, you know, it's hard to describe. It's a really cool experience. And if you ever get the chance to do it, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah. Even if it's just once, because it's, it's awesome. I'm, you know, very, very grateful and very privileged that I've gotten to go as many times as I can. But it's one of those things that even, you know, when I was super broke sometimes, because it happens when you're, you know, in your early 20s. It was one of those things that, like, I spent all year planning and squirreling away to be able to do that, just because that was my one thing that was kind of my recharge of, you know, being with my people and my tribe, and, you know, being able to be very extroverted about my passions and my hobbies and, you know, things that I don't necessarily always get to do on a daily basis. So it's awesome, and I can't gush about it enough.
I definitely get the recharge thing every year. Like, if I get tired of WoW or something else, it definitely gets me more interested in the game again, and it really does that. Plus, I mean, through the year, my job is very stressful, so it's nice to get that, you know, time as breakaway and vacation, and, you know, literally fly to the other side of the country and say, I have nothing to do with you for a full week almost. And it allows me, again, you know, being over on the East Coast, you're so limited in kind of the interactions you would have, or the interactions I have with people that, you know, maybe on the West Coast, or, you know, I have some friends that I've met up at BlizzCon that live in England and Australia and other places. And so it's cool to have everybody come in and just hang out, you know. Heck, if you want to grab a cup of coffee with somebody and just chit chat, it's something that you don't get to have that experience with. It's different, but it's definitely really, really cool. And, you know, being able to, you know, like you said, with friends and stuff like that, or meet new friends, or it's just, I don't know. I guess the two of us really could go on forever about how much fun and how important BlizzCon is to us, and how it makes us not only enjoy the games, but our friends even more.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. It's hard to put, you can't really put it in a box. It's hard to even throw a label on it of just, like, how much having the opportunity to go do those things means, because, you know, I was a nerd and pretty secluded and very introverted growing up, and being able to, you know, listen to Metzen's Geek Is speech in, I believe, 2010 was amazing. Like, it was one of those things that literally brought tears to my eyes, because it's like, oh god, I have been looking for my people my entire life, and here they are, and I get to share that with them. And getting to come back every year is just, it's hard to put into words. So yes,
I guess other things that you know, kind of Blizzard, WoW, and convention related. You went to TwitchCon and VillainCon.
I did. Correct? I went to my first TwitchCon this past weekend, and that was interesting, mostly from a... I don't really stream anymore, and I haven't for a couple of years since I moved to California. Just adulting kind of got in the way, and I just haven't really... The longer I spent away from it, the harder it was to go back. And so being there and being with streamers and just seeing all the kind of community that, again, kind of like BlizzCon, these communities that spend so much time online get to come together and do crazy stuff. And it was really cool. It was a nice experience. It was enough to actually spark the little fire, firing up my stream again. And like I said, I haven't done that in 2 years. And it was awesome because there's people that... You know, we're in my stream every single day, and they were there within 5 minutes of me going live and saying, welcome back, we missed you. And that's a really cool experience. And so I look forward to, you know, making the conscious choice to kind of dedicate some time to go streaming again. So if you see me online, come say
hi. That's really cool.
It was cool. It's like, again, it's hard to put words on it of like I made connections with these people that I'm friends with now and, you know, still talk to. And it's all just because of I was some silly late night WoW streamer. And, you know, it's funny how things work out sometimes. Also,
I've tried streaming. I just haven't gotten every time I try. I was just like, don't really keep up with it, and I have a few people that would watch and kind of interact with, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I stream while I'm raiding, and so I can't keep a steady conversation all the times.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's easier to stream games that have a unlimited amount of time that you can pause and kind of interact, and WoW can be really hard with that, especially if you're raiding, which, you know, it depends on, like, the content that you're creating. People are either going to like it or they're going to hate it, and those that like it will understand if you can't reply every second within time or, you know, I mean, I swear more people tuned in to see my dog try and steal food off of my plate while I was raiding than to see me raiding. Because I get just as many questions of, where is your dog? Where is he? I want to see your dog, kind of thing. So it's always really funny of, like, what people pick that they like out of you the most, and so that was cool. But VillainCon, it was so awesome. So Blizzard at events, you know, conventions will sometimes put on influencer mixers and stuff like that that take place after hours, and I've never been a cool enough kid to get to go do that, but I had the opportunity to go on behalf of BlizzPro and be a representative there, and, you know, see other people in the community, especially lots and lots of streamers and, you know, a few podcasters and people that work at Blizzard in various capacities, and, you know, just eat, drink, and be merry and do really, really cool stuff. And VillainCon was a Blizzard villain themed party, and we got to pick whose team we wanted to fight on in terms of villains. And of course, because I'm a Warcraft girl, I picked Arthas, who's a lot cooler than Deathwing.
Yes.
Even though I think my dress was a little more thematic with the Skeleton King, but I like Diablo, but not that much. So it was really cool to have everybody was in masks and going around, and they had lots of cool mini games to go in and do stuff, and you had pins that you got to collect, and I came off with a really cool t-shirt that is imprinted with KT, which was kind of cool, and we got goodie bags to take with, but it was just, they put on a hell of a party, and it was really, really cool to be a part of, and I, you know, hope I am fortunate enough to go back another time and do those things and, you know, continue to share with you guys how amazing Blizzard is, you know, as a content creator and as a fan, and, you know, for some, even as a friend. You know, I they support the community, and, you know, I want to support people that mean a lot to me, either because of personal reasons or just because I want them to continue doing what they do because it makes me happy. So yeah, that was really, really cool. I've still got pictures and whatnot that I need to post, but it was a neat experience.
Awesome.
So I think I think that'll probably about wrap it up for this week. We didn't have a lot because BlizzCon hype is coming and news has been kind of slow because everything is under wraps for a little bit longer. But I do want to remind everybody that we have a Discord and to give us a shout out on, or not necessarily give us a shout out, but at least check out the pinned tweet at Arcane Analysis and join us in our BlizzCon hype and episode discussions, or, you know, even just little stuff of how was your weekend and, you know, what cool stuff are we seeing in patch 7.3.2 that dropped today mysteriously out of nowhere.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But also, we are still looking for another co-host. And we would love to see one of you lucky wonderful people come join us on a bi-weekly basis.
Mostly bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly-ish. Bi-weekly light. So and on that note, thanks for putting up with us and, you know, delays in scheduling, because we're adults and we have things and they get in the way sometimes. But I appreciate you guys continuing to support us and listen, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.
See you on the other side of BlizzCon.
On the other side of BlizzCon.